First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com. You can go for all the latest stories, replays of the podcast, this show, etc. While you're at LouisvillePolitics.com, please join our email newsletter, and we'll deliver all the news to your inbox on a weekly or monthly basis, your choice. We're not going to spam you every day like most do. And while you're there, also join the RSS feed, and we'll make sure that you get a delivery of our shows as they come across, so they get straight to you as well. If you're so inclined, we can always use the help. Believe me, it takes a lot of money to keep this going. We have a donate button there as well on the top right of the page, and we'd appreciate it if you'd help us out with that. With all that being said, here we go. Call-in numbers, as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For those folks in the listening queue, as always, there's a bunch of it. We certainly appreciate it. But hit that number one on your dial pad so we know you want to be heard on air. And for everybody else, the live chat is open, so you can sign in using your Facebook and Twitter accounts as well there. Just another way we can get to hear from you. In the meantime, Mr. Martin, how are you, sir?
Well, hi, Mr. Springsteen, and I hit number one because I want to be heard. So there you go.
Well, you know, believe it or not, you're the only one that probably don't have to hit that button, because I know who you are, unless you call in from an alternate number, but that's okay. I tell you, man, there is always something going on. Let's just get right to it tonight, because it's become comical what is really going on here. But let's start with this story first. Everybody knows the story of Josh Young here in Louisville. This guy was put in jail for killing his best friend. Then his stepfather admitted to killing his best friend, so he got acquitted. And since then, of course, Josh Young...
No, it was his stepbrother, I believe.
Yeah, his stepbrother. I'm sorry, I said best friend, did I? Yeah, his stepbrother. But what's fascinating here is this kid has been in all kinds of trouble. I mean, he doesn't even appreciate second chances or anything else. He has been arrested for all kinds of things. He pled guilty to retaliating against a witness who testified in his trial. He was placed on a supervised diversion program for 5 years, got a 2-year suspended sentence, and it's gotten even worse. You know, he's been charged with criminal trespassing, shoplifting, public intoxication. He has violated every part of his parole you can imagine. So the Commonwealth's Attorney's Office now wants him taken off the diversion program and sent to prison for the 2 years that they suspended for him. And here's the weird thing. Even after all of these things, he's been in court repeatedly. He's even missed court dates. You know, all of these things proving that there's just nothing good about this kid. And yet Judge Mitch Perry is the judge in this case, and he continues lying on the street. Well, now they're going to – the Commonwealth's attorney is pushing really hard to get him in jail for 2 years. And Judge Perry is quoted as saying, "We're going to take a chance on you one last time. You have to be here in court on the hearing date, which is November 17th. If you post this bond in district court, you have to be here on the hearing date so we can come back and talk about this." I mean, they're bending over backwards trying to help this kid, and he's clearly not learned anything. I mean, you know, he's been accused of beating up a girlfriend. Where do we draw the line on this kind of stuff?
I'm kind of a one-chance kind of guy. I mean, let's face it. Everybody... Although the court's found otherwise, his father's a piece of crap too. You know, basically took the rap for his, he probably had something to do with it. Took the rap for the stepson being killed. But the kids, at some point, I support restorative rights. Decriminalization of nonviolent offenses to some, at least we don't put them in prison. But at some point, this kid. His behavior reads like a psychopath in a movie. I mean, he just doesn't get it. And the thing is he's just a bad kid. I hate to have to say that, but he's just a bad seed. He's not from the streets. His violent behavior is not a matter of survival. He's a serial killer in training is what he is. And, at some point, it amazes me, and I don't mean to get into the black-white thing, but a black kid that gets nailed 3 times with an ounce of dope probably going to do way more time than this little peach fuzz, skinny-ass white kid who he killed somebody. He's killed people. He's threatened people. He's substance abuse. He's stolen stuff. I mean, what hasn't this kid done? I guess he hasn't raped anybody yet, but beyond that, maybe he has, maybe he isn't guilty of arson. But I mean, this kid's knocking down all the major charges in a hurry. I mean, wow.
Well, and it's not just that. I mean, this kid, there's still questions that surround the killing of his stepbrother. There was no, it was not 100% conclusive that Josh didn't have anything to do with that killing. His dad. Confessed to it and everything else. I got Josh out of jail, but they haven't proven that Josh wasn't complicit in that. But they try to give this kid a break, and this kid was considered to be trouble and a strange kid before anything happened with the killing of the stepbrother. So, this isn't something. This is a pattern of behavior. This is a pattern of behavior that started before the murder. And this is a pattern of behavior that has continued since he was released and given a second chance. He should be in jail. I don't understand what Judge Mitch Perry is doing here. I think in the beginning when he first got out of jail, he had all of this, poor Josh syndrome going on in this community. The whole community was supporting him and trying to give him the benefit of the doubt and trying to, to give him, whatever he needs to help himself out. But... he just took advantage of it. And this is a kid that just to me, I'm like you, he's no good, he should be in jail, and I won't back off of that. And since we're going down the road of that, the reason I'm leading to all this is, we now have other stories. As we know, LMPD late last week, Friday, of course, they dump all the news on Friday, but LMPD, they finally had the report back. They spent $55,000 on getting a report to analyze vehicle stops by LMPD and decide whether LMPD was basically racist or not. And it's very interesting when you look at the statistics. Now, according to the statistics, there were 87,775 vehicles stopped between April of 2013 and March of 2014. So we got a full year here. 67% of all stops involved white drivers. All right. And that's according to 2013 U.S. Census data. So 67% involved white drivers, which are about 74% of all the county's population. 28% involved black drivers, and the other stops were Hispanic or other, which counts for the rest. But here's the thing. The Courier Journal, the mainstream media, and, of course, our racist council member-in-chief, Attica Scott, are screaming that this report proves that the LMPD is racist. Now, remember, 67% are white, 21%, or 28% are black that get pulled over by the police. But they want to point out that blacks are more likely to be arrested or searched during a police stop because 5% of all the stops involving black people result in an arrest, and only 3% of stops involving white people are you know, part of this. So I'm looking at all this, and I'm laughing. I'm laughing. You know, they're starting. People are screaming, well, there's a higher percentage of searches involving black drivers. Now, you've got a small percentage higher. It's almost 14 to 15% of the black drivers who are searched, but only 5% are arrested. You know, we look at this in play, and nobody wants to talk about the obvious. The majority of the black people that are getting pulled over aren't getting pulled over in East End white neighborhoods. They're getting pulled over in poor neighborhoods that are known for drug or crimes. If they're being searched, it comes down to probable cause. And I would say there's a good indication that probable cause is going to exist in more cases in the West End or the traditionally poor neighborhoods than it is in the East End. So they're using racism once again when clearly the evidence proves otherwise. Would you agree?
I would agree to, you know, an extent. I definitely think they're screaming racism. I mean, there are so, and it gets down to the fact that in a stop, there are so many factors that go in. I mean, there's just so many. You know, you got to look at what people get pulled over for. If you get pulled over for speeding, you know, yeah, you're probably just going to get a ticket, you know. You're speeding. Everybody does it if you're just speeding too much. But, I mean, it has to be broken down, and this is where people like Attica Scott get lazy. It's got to be broken down into why they were pulled over, where they were pulled over. And then, you know, we need dash cams on everything. A lot of it, how the police deal with you, you know, not always, because like Ed, you found out that you don't have to be looking for trouble for them to give you trouble, but a lot of how the police, you know, respond to you is based on how you respond to them. And I would say, you know, reaching real deep on cause and effect, when we have civic leaders out there like Attica Scott saying, you know, her kid, she's fearing for her child to go out because cops are going to gun him down. You know, when leaders encourage an atmosphere of suspicion, and the cops turn the blue lights on you and you are of that demographic, you're probably going to be defensive. You're probably going, you know, you're going to be edgy. You're going to be shifty. You're going to be scared, which is probably going to cause the cop to light up on you. So, I mean, I don't know. Like I say, you have to examine every single case. You can't just, you know, it's useful, but that's just scratching the surface. Those are just base numbers. I mean, it could be, you really could find that if with dash cams and stuff like it, you may find that a lot of searches might involve somebody just popping off to the cop or you know, like you say, poor neighborhoods where crime is a known where crime, and let's just call it what it is, black on black crime is very high. You know, leading cause of death amongst many black young men. Yeah, you're in a hot zone. So yeah, the cops are probably going to look through it. You know, if you're a convicted felon, which, you know, devoid of you can be a convicted felon of anything, and somebody, you know, cops might want to look through your car because all of a sudden you having certain things in there, like a gun, is considerably, you know, it's an arrestable offense. So, yeah, it just...
Well, it's interesting.
This is being lazy. They're not looking into the detail, which is where that's where the details lies, and you got to delve into it.
Well, I mean, for me personally, I think every white person in Louisville ought to congregate down to 6th and Jefferson, and right around the corner is LMPD headquarters. And let's just, take the hundreds of thousands of white people here in Louisville, Jefferson County, and let's all just block all the streets down there and have a rally and protest, because we're 2.5 times more likely than a black person to be pulled over. I mean, that's the essentials of it. When 67% of the white population is pulled over and only 28% of the black population is pulled over, you can't sit here and say that LMPD is being racist. And as you pointed out, I was arrested for being nice.
Yeah, you also have to look at, how many drivers there are and weigh it against that. So I would say the pullover rate is probably not terribly out of whack. It's just, what happens after that? You hand them your license. You're a convicted felon, your record comes up, maybe you had marijuana possession.
It's just totally ridiculous, but the point is we have so many more things we should be focused on, because this report should have put an end to this racial profiling crap that the LMPD has been accused of. I was arrested being a nice guy, not even on a scene. I was observing a scene from a safe distance, not interfering at all, and a cop threw me in jail for obstruction, which was a lie. I ended up winning the case and ended up getting paid for it. But, it's insulting to me that you continue to lie and screw this kind of crap. And that's what race baiters and race hustlers like Attica Scott and the Curious Urinal, they're nothing but race pushers too. When we have our media pushing this crap and we have council members pushing this crap that know better, then we've got a serious problem. If you live in a black neighborhood and the majority of people who get pulled over in your neighborhood are black, guess what? That's not a problem. That's reality. And that's essentially what they're trying to pull here. It's ridiculous. And the numbers don't lie. I don't see anything in these numbers that would even possibly allude to LMPD racial profiling on pulling people over. And believe me, I'm not a big fan of the LMPD these days after the bullshit they put me through, but it just belies it. And we've got so many other things that we could need to be doing. I mean, here we are trying to create a fuss where there is none. And we've got Dave Stengel, for example. If you want to create a fuss and put people in jail and start bitching about favoritism and all this other crap that's going on, well, let's look at the Democratic Mafia. Dave Stengel's running against Dave Stengel's running against Kevin Bratcher for the State House. Dave Stengel has had spousal abuse covered up so that he wouldn't suffer politically from it. He's a guy who covered Jim King himself. We've even got an egg on. I put a story up last week on the website at LouisvillePolitics.com, and you can listen to the testimony from Denise Bentley about the illegal doings of Jim King and elections and stuff. It's crazy. Hart McGibbon, the special prosecutor in his case, said it was going to be easy to get an indictment against Jim King, but then he refused to take it to the grand jury. Dave Stengel, owes Jim King thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars on property that Jim King has financed for him. So he's beholden to Jim King. All these little things. We have that kind of shit going on. We have people that are running for office, a Commonwealth attorney. And let's not forget how he covered up Matt Conway's drug investigation, and Jack Conway, the attorney general, helped him. If we want to start talking about profiling, or when we want to start talking about holding people accountable and how things are out of whack, then let's start with the politicians. Let's quit making up crap that's going to divide the citizens when the reality is the numbers don't lie, and let's sit here and hold these government officials accountable. You were talking about a black man is more likely to serve time in jail after getting caught 3 times with a joint. You're absolutely right about that. But Matt Conway gets it covered up because his brother happens to be the attorney general, and his boss happens to be the Commonwealth attorney, all the Democratic Mafia. There's a reason I'm going with all of this. There's a reason I'm going down this road. And I tell you, folks, and really the biggest reason we're going down this road is because I'm sick of it. That's why I put the story out last week talking about this Metro Council pandering. Last Thursday night's Metro Council meeting was an insult to any taxpaying citizen in Louisville. It was a Democratic political rally. It was a disgusting display that we just don't deserve. I mean, I can't even say enough about it. It's that bad. So that's why I started going back down this road. And then we see this report on Friday, and they're screaming racial profiling all weekend, Ed. It just defies logic when you start looking at people like Stengel, King, Steve Beshear, Jerry Abramson, Jack Conway, Matt Conway, all the cover-ups that they do, because they're all, guess what, in law enforcement and the legal field. And then you throw stuff in there. You throw a Judge Mitch Perry in there if you want to right now. Why is this guy still covering for Josh Young? You know, these are the real stories that mainstream refuses to delve into. Make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you know, like I said, for me, it always comes back to it, and I actually had to send Jacob Payne a message the other day to that effect, too. Mainstream is lazy, Ed. I don't think they're sinister. I've said before many times, certain papers write at a fifth grade level, and some people tell me, well, that's an insult to fifth graders. But I really think they're lazy, and I think they've got a thing in place where they can basically get fed their stories. They've got something to write. Makes the work week easy. Just basically repeat what the Democrats are telling you, in some cases what the Republicans are telling you, and they are. I think they're just lazy. I think they fear terribly the prospect of doing a drill down kind of story on somebody, sniffing out corruption, because then guess what? You're going to get scooped. Everybody else is going to get the call. Ooh, hey, Josh Young is coming to court. You don't get the call. You don't get the interview. You get frozen out, because that's the other way the Democrat mafia does it, and that's the reason once you're in power, unless you're somebody like Mitch McConnell, they pretty much do what they're told. The media does what they're told to do, because they don't want to be frozen out. They don't want to, they at least want to get a comparable number of interviews or stories or leads from the people in politics.
You just defeated your own argument. The media isn't lazy. You just defeated your own argument. The media is not lazy. They're told what to do, which is exactly the truth. They're bought and paid for and told what to do.
The information's out there for them to dig. They just, if they play along, then the information is fed to them, and they don't have to go out and dig. They don't have to go Woodward and Bernstein on anybody. So they're lazy because they like the system where it's at. They get fed enough information, kind of like a veal cow or something. They're trapped. They can't move, but they're getting fed. They're soft and everything. But yeah.
Now, see, that's not true either, because you look at Cheryl Atkinson. Let's look at Cheryl Atkinson. Yeah. She's got a book out now. It's going to be coming out, and she's detailing all the stuff that happened during her time at CNN. But Cheryl Atkinson was one of those investigative reporters who did dig. And she has some hard-hitting stories and had information that was very important. And she was told she wasn't allowed to report the type of information and the details about stuff because the mainstream media that she worked for was scared of backlash. So there are some people out there who want to do the hard work.
They want to keep the gravy train going. They want to keep the easy stories going. They're scared of getting frozen out. They're scared of having a supply of stories.
There you go.
Information. Yeah, they're scared of having their supply of information cut off. So, oh, my God. Then they would actually have to, do research instead of have somebody feed something to you that's already, the proper number of words to make it into your column or something.
There you go. And if you look at this, and that plays with the politicians. The politicians will not answer the tough questions. If you ask the tough questions, they cut you off. Barack Obama has reporters who aren't allowed to ask questions because he don't like the fact that they're asking relevant questions. You look at Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Why anybody would ever give her the time of day or put her on TV anymore is beyond me. But she's been all over the news circuit, and she's continually asked the same question. The president has said that his policies are on the ballot, which he did. He said he understands why everybody is distancing themselves from him right now, but make no mistake about it, they have voted and supported his policies, and those policies are on the ballot. That's what President Obama himself has said, and Wasserman Schultz, every time she's asked about that, will not answer it. will not answer it. She refuses to answer, sort of like Alice in Wonderland Grimes, but she won't answer about voting for Barack Obama. You know, so, I mean, that's what we're into. And the mainstream media, in their quest to make sure they still get access for the fluff so they can get paid, you know, is corrupt, in my opinion. And I got to point this out, too. You know, it's not just the Democratic mafia in that mix, folks, because I got to take issue with Mitch McConnell and the GOP. And I tell you why. Because, you know, Mitch McConnell is out there spending millions and millions of dollars, and so is Alice in Wonderland Grimes. We're going to get to that in a second. But, you know, these guys are spending millions of dollars on mainstream media, corporate mainstream media. When you look at Mitch McConnell, his good friend is Mitt Romney. Who owns Clear Channel right here in Louisville, Kentucky? Why, Mitt Romney's Bain Capital does. They own Clear Channel. So every dime that he spends there is putting more money into Mitt Romney's pockets and Bain Capital's pockets so they can in turn funnel that money back to the politicians. You know, and the reality is elections don't have to be this expensive. LouisvillePolitics.com, this radio show, and others just like us are where the voters are at. You're not checking out these political shows and these political websites and having the numbers we've got unless you're interested in who to vote for and you want the truth. You know, so you're spending millions of dollars at Clear Channel knowing that that ad is just wasted. Nobody's really paying attention to it, all right, at an overinflated price so you can keep Mitt Romney and Bain Capital members rich. And that's the biggest problem with politicians. That's why things are so high. And that's why people like Clear Channel, a lot of the people that work at Clear Channel, a lot of people that work at the TV networks and everything else, that's why they play ball, keep their mouth shut, and just give us the sound bites based on the press releases they're given because they want to make sure that that money keeps flowing. Right?
Yeah. And I think it's also there, you know, even though I do call the media lazy, they do like the money. But it amazes me is like when you're speaking of Mitch and Allison, one debate this year. To be real honest with you, I cannot believe that the mainstream media, you know, ABC, NBC, Fox, CBS, TV, you know, you name it, any of the news radio stations. I cannot believe, and the Courier Journal, that they just roll over and take it like a champ. You know, to me, they should be demanding these politicians sit down and do a damn debate. But, you know, it just shows you how scared the media is nowadays. Allison and Mitch just kind of, you know, they both wanted to groom it and make sure it was all vetted and all controlled. And they groomed the debates, and they only did one. And the media did not, and they have not, and they will not raise hell about it. And they should be indignant about it. They should be trashing those two about it. You know, and they should be, including David Patterson, too. But they should, politicians should not be worshipped. They should not be feared. Especially when they duck a debate, they should be eviscerated.
And that's the so-called problem with the 50 state. They care more about profit than caring about doing their job. And that you're absolutely 100% right. I mean, I can't argue with that. And speaking of the debates and everything else, not willing to answer anything, you know, Alice in Wonderland Grimes, you brought up the Courier Journal. There's two stories today that I really paid attention to. Let's start with the first one before we get into the endorsement. But Joe Girth put out a story today talking about how these outside groups manipulate Kentucky voter impressions, right? And it was basically, right, if you read the article, the article is basically making it look like, you know, Mitch McConnell, he's basically towing the line talking about the billionaires and millionaires buying Mitch McConnell an election, which is not true. But, you know, so he talks about, you know, all of this outside money, like the Kentucky Opportunity Coalition, you know, is spending millions of dollars. They've spent almost $12.6 million. You know, Missouri to Ohio to West Virginia and here as well, you know, trying to make everybody think the worst of Grimes, right? Well, he goes on to talk about how these dark money groups have spent about $12 million on Mitch McConnell and only $566,000 supporting Grimes. So you're thinking, wow, you know, there's a lot here. So it feeds into that mindset that the mean old rich Republicans are buying elections with the outside money and the Democrats are staying above board, except he's a hypocrite. Joe Girth is a hypocrite. He's told to try to make Allison look good, and this one article proves it, because in that article, in that article, he goes on to say that Grimes favors campaign finance reform that's going to limit contributions. Charlie Norton, her spokeswoman, said that throwing millions of dollars worth of dark money ads at Grimes is failing. And her excuse was, she said, for over 15 months, Mitch McConnell and his billionaire backers, they always throw that word out there. You know, they forget about George Soros back in the Democrats, right? It's always the Koch brothers. But, you know, so Mitch McConnell and his billionaire backers have thrown millions of dollars into the wind and claimed they could knock Allison out of this race, and it's clearly not working. Except here we go. Joe Gerth leads the way by telling the whole world $12 million have been spent on McConnell and only about $500,000 supporting Grimes out of this dark money. Yet, according to the Center for Responsive Politics, Ed, these outside groups have actually spent a total of more than $20 million trying to help McConnell be reelected. So that makes the number worse, right? Except they go even further because $8 million has been spent to help Grimes, not the little $500,000 that he's trying to imply. You know, so the only problem here is, again, it's the hypocrisy. The Democrats and the liberal mainstream media want to lie, cheat, and steal any way they can to try to keep this liberal agenda going, and they're even lying about the money. Allison Grimes got $8 million. Mitch McConnell has had $20 million spent on him. The only thing they're pissed about is the fact that the Democrats aren't donating as much money as the Republicans are. Because it doesn't matter if you're spending $8 million and Mitch is spending $20 million on this outside money. You're still guilty. You're still guilty. You know what I mean? So you can't sit here and play this hypocritical game, and we'll get into some more of that in a minute. Am I right or wrong?
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, it's just in the media, I find it funny that the media and Joe, who the fellow I like Joe, he's pretty honest, they flat tell you, you know, it's the amount of money in your campaign that determines your relevance. It determines, you know, whether you're going to get media, you know, unearned media, unpaid media attention, you know, whether they're just going to quote you or show up to watch your speeches or ask questions. That's money, you know, and they flat out say it. I've got it on record, you know, emails and stuff. It's like, hey, the money is the determining factor. KET put that in black and white this year. So, you know, for them to sit there and say, you know, the indignation at the money, the corrupting influence of the money, but then they turn around and in private they'll say, hey, you know, sorry, you got to raise money or we're not going to give you the flipping time of day. You know, that's huge hypocrisy there. They, you know, and I hate that. I hate that for people like Joe because, like I say, he seems like a nice guy, but just the hypocrisy in the media. And it cuts both ways. There are people, you know, that in conservative media and stuff, that it's the same way. They'll decry the money, they'll decry George Soros and stuff, but then they'll look the other way for their guys. And in the end, if you ask them, you know, who's relevant, they'll tell you, well, who's raised the money.
See, that's the whole thing. I mean, it's hypocritical across the board, but I'm so sick. I'm so sick of the mainstream media in this town playing this agenda game to aid the Democratic mafia and the liberal, if I dare call it, socialist communistic agenda that they portray in this town. It's just nuts, and it's that way across the country. And they have, this division is ridiculous because it's all built on lies and a house of cards. You know, and the Courier-Journal, everybody's making a big deal today. The Courier-Journal endorsed Allison Wonderland Grimes. That's got to be bad for Mitch McConnell. That is such a joke. That is such a joke. The Courier-Journal typically will endorse the liberal candidate just about any chance they get regardless. They will endorse the liberal candidate just as the unions will because they want to keep the money train alive. You know, and part of the reason they endorsed her, they had to say, was that Ms. Grimes, to her credit, was willing to appear before this editorial board and answer our questions for an hour. You know what? So what? There's not a Democrat alive who's not going to go ahead and show up at these events. And most Republicans won't. And they're trying to say, go ahead.
I was just saying, at that point, back to what I was saying earlier, these two candidates refused to do all but one very controlled debate. And here's the Courier-Journal sucking up, saying, oh, she was decent enough to show up and do an interview. It's like, well, You know, the quote, the Wizard of Oz, well, bless my buttons, you know?
Well, it was the easiest interview she ever did.
She's actually considerate enough to show up to the state's biggest newspaper and sit down and give them an hour of her time for, you know, a de facto endorsement. It's like, really? Really? Okay,
well, yeah.
Isn't it that? And the toughest question she got the whole time was, did you vote for Barack Obama? And she ducked it, you know. So, yeah, gee, thanks for your interview, Allison. That's mighty big of you.
Well, yeah, you know, and that was the thing. And they tried to build it up like this was really great of her because, according to them, she did this fully aware that Mitch McConnell's campaign could and did, you know, seize on some snippets to use in political attacks. They're going to do that on every race. It doesn't matter what board you talk to. They've got operatives on both sides, including Grimes, that go around to Mitch McConnell's speeches and listen to everything he says. It is such a joke that they tried to build this up about how, you know, strong she was because of that. It was the easiest interview in the most easy situation she's ever been in her life. And then, of course, they wanted to chastise McConnell because since he didn't come here, he was just trying to protect himself from scrutiny from Alice in Wonderland Grimes. I just thought that was a joke. But then they go on. And then, go ahead.
Can I get into it even further? You know, when the Courier, what a joke their editorial endorsements are. You know, they wouldn't interview me. Because I was just third party, so they wouldn't interview me. Lord knows my moderate answers might have confused them in their little brains. You know, oh my God, how can you be a fiscal conservative and a social progressive? Oh my God, my head hurts. But you know, the most ironic one of all time was Ken Mulman when he ran, and the editorial board was actually displayed just what a big joke they are. Because when they were endorsing the candidates, they mentioned Ken and said, well, you know, but he doesn't seem to be able to get his message out. It's like, well, no shit, Sherlock. You wouldn't interview him.
You know, oh, yeah.
He'd have pushed his car here to do the interview. You know, but it's like, it just made him, when I remember when that quote came out and I saw that, I thought, yep, you guys have jumped the shark. You're the biggest bunch of idiots. You know, you are so detached from reality that really, who wants your endorsement? And who, beyond that, the only people that care is the candidate that gets the endorsement because they'll make a commercial out of it because ain't nobody going to read it. The only way that, you know, all it's good for is for them to put a commercial together because nobody reads the endorsements. Nobody reads the papers.
Well, that's it.
Keep on.
That's it. And I actually wasted my time and watched the interview that she did with the Courier-Journal Online. And I actually wasted my time trying to watch the KET debate, the only debate that was allowed between McConnell and Grimes. And, you know, of course, McConnell was being blamed for that as well, but it was Grimes who was coming up with all the excuses not to debate. But nobody wanted to talk about that, so they switched it. But, you know, it was interesting, too, because they actually pointed out in this endorsement that both candidates have failed the voters through limited access, talking points, and slickly packaged appearances and target ads. But it's fascinating. It's fascinating because then they had to go on and say, but Ms. Grimes has laid out positions on a number of issues that matter to voters. We can't pin her down on anything. She won't even tell us who she voted for. But they go on to list different things. Healthcare. She says that Grimes supports the Affordable Care Act and Kentucky Neck, which is our version of it, you know, and all of these things. So they go on to talk about that like she's telling us something that we don't already know. Of course she supports Obamacare. She's an Obama person, you know. But by making that statement that Grimes has laid out a position on a number of issues that matter to voters that separate her from her opponent, McConnell hasn't hidden from anything there. On health care, McConnell has been very public and very vocal about his opposition to Obamacare and the fact that he wants to repeal it. That's not dodging an issue. You get into coal and jobs. You know, they're both talking about this war on coal. And then they go on to praise Alice in Wonderland Grimes because she's offering proposals to save coal jobs through investing in clean coal technology, which will close even more coal mines, as we know. And then she talks about, and to give her credit for supporting creating jobs beyond coal through increased federal job training programs, apprenticeships, et cetera, which we had the opportunity here for that with the workplace training facility, and the Democratic mafia shut that down. You know, when you look at this, and then you look at the video we got from Project Veritas on how Alice in Wonderland Grimes really feels about coal, that she's going to screw the coal miners as soon as she gets elected because she wants to get rid of the coal mines. You know, and everybody said, oh, well, that was just a bunch of volunteers, a bunch of volunteers. They were talking out their ass. I've never considered Crit Llewellyn a crazy volunteer, and Crit Llewellyn said the same thing in that tape. If you watch that four-minute tape all the way through, the four-minute video, Crit Llewellyn also says that the federal government and Barack Obama and the EPA has destroyed coal so much that Allison can go out there and safely say she's going to defend coal, knowing full well she can't. So, Crit Llewellyn, would you say that she's a credible source? I would.
Yeah.
You know, you get into that, and then you get into this workers, women, and families crap, talking about how great Grimes is because she supports an increase in the federal minimum wage, except her own family pays minimum wage. She's the lawyer for her dad's restaurant. They pay minimum wage. She also owns property with her dad.
You might be lucky if you get minimum wage for the Grimes family because their catering business, they use unpaid interns. So it's like,
exactly, unpaid interns.
Oh,
exactly. Thank you.
You're getting $3 an hour? I'm getting nothing.
Yeah, there you go. You know, and then, of course, they give her this great big help. She wants to make more child care more affordable to working parents. She supports eliminating this wage gap between men and women. That is a crock of crap. That is a liberal talking point that has been there since the 70s. It's a load of crap today. It's been a load of crap for many, many years. You know, but they continue harping that because they make that divide between women and men. And if she cares so much about women and working on behalf of women and being this strong, independent woman that women can look up to, she's certainly not doing a great job proving that, sitting here being ordered what to do by her daddy and the other men in her campaign, and then bringing on the biggest piece of shit when it comes to how you treat women and respect women to campaign for her, and Bill Clinton and his equally garbage wife, Hillary Clinton. You don't bring this man here and say that you respect and treat women and they deserve to be treated with dignity and respect and deserve all this. That man was the worst person I've ever seen in the free world when it comes to disrespecting and manipulating women. Am I wrong in that?
I think Phil Spector might have been worse. But yeah,
well, okay.
He's pretty bad.
Well, there you go. You know, and then we look at education.
That actually killed him too, you know, so...
Well, there you go. And then, of course, we got to move on to education. They're giving Grimes credit for having all these great ideas for education, talking about early childhood education, including preschool and Head Start, is a priority for Alice in Wonderland Grimes. The U.S. must invest more in such programs to help reduce poverty and improve opportunities for children. No, you dimwits, they don't get it. We pour money through a daggone funnel that has an open hole at the bottom of the daggone bucket into education. There's always this talk. The only way you're going to reduce poverty and improve opportunities for children is to eliminate poverty by providing an economic incentives to the private force to increase jobs. You lift people out of poverty by giving them jobs. You get jobs by letting the free market do its work. You don't get jobs by making it unattractive financially to work in the United States, so you go overseas to work. You make it attractive for business to stay in the United States. And see, this is ridiculous. And then the hypocrisy still is not lost on me because they ended the endorsement as saying that, you know, in his long career in politics, Mitch McConnell has in the past effectively served his community and his state. Excuse me, folks. You just said Mitch McConnell has done a pretty good job. So, they even give him credit for, you know, stopping the fiscal cliff and breaking deadlocks in Congress, especially after the 16-day government shutdown last year. So if Mitch McConnell is good and he's done this and he actually brought us back to work and ended this shutdown and everything else, you're praising him and telling him he's worthless at the same time. That's the hypocrisy of the left. Comments,
yeah.
Ed.
Well, you know, and like you say, we're not big Mitch fans here by any stretch, but they also tiptoed away from the obvious, you know, and it's a point, it's one that kind of rubs me raw, but it is reality, and the fact of the matter is Mitch, from a small state like Kentucky with 4 million voters, he's the most powerful Republican in Congress, and if the Republicans take the Senate, he will be, you know, essentially the third most powerful person in Washington, actually, you know, effectively more powerful than the vice president. They could be the second most powerful from a little old state with, like, Kentucky. Like I said, not endorsing, not condoning it, but that is a reality. And if Allison can't answer who she voted for, Grimes gets up there, she is going to be a lapdog, bottom of the ladder, and it's going to take her. And then you can just go on and set yourself up for it. Embrace yourself for it, because then she's going to run for re-election. She's going to do exactly what Mitt did, trying to work her way up the ladder so that she can hold some leadership positions. But they don't acknowledge that. I'm not in favor of it. I wish there were term limits and there weren't 30 years serving Congress critters up there or more. You know, we can get some new blood and new ideas in, but the fact of the matter is that's the reality we have to deal with, and it amazes me how the career tiptoes, how a lot of media tiptoes away from that, saying, okay, yeah, you may not like the guy, but damn, if he wins and the Republicans take a majority, which they're, you know, there's a good chance they will, little old Kentucky has the second most powerful man in Washington at that point. And that's got to be good for something. That's got to be good for something. I mean, if we're talking politics and we're not talking, you know, hate this guy or like this guy, just the practicality, just the unfortunate reality of our political system, and it amazes me people like Currier just totally miss that, you know. And then
they don't miss it. It just doesn't fit their agenda.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I say I'm not real impressed with them almost ever. And I think, you know, another thing they're not looking at, again, this is they exist in their bubble. And one has to ask the question. It's just like Yarmuth McFarlane, although McFarlane's campaign is pretty lame. in the Grimes-McConnell thing, let's say the Republicans, you know, and with a very real chance, the Republicans take over the Senate. Oh, great. Now you've got a freshman senator from Kentucky in the minority. She's going to be on the toilet, you know, the little toilet soap hanger committee or something. It's going to be horrible. So, but, yeah, like I say, that to me is a bit offensive, you know, knowing that the political system works that way. But that is a reality, and it's a reality that our media too often chooses to ignore. And, of course, then they completely ignore David Patterson, so piss on them.
Well, I agree with you there, too. I mean, that just seems to be the whole thing. You know, they set the stage, and they want to push the liberal ultra-left agenda, you know, and it's just getting to the point of being ridiculous because it's so openly blatant, you know. And then they decided to push even further, the Courier-Journal did today. And I'm going to we spent a lot of time trashing the Courier, but they need to be trashed. They spent some time today putting out a story saying, like, it's a big deal that Mitch McConnell put $1.8 million of his own money into his campaign recently. He's loaning the money to campaign. So they're trying to act like he's broke and desperate and all this other stuff. But the reality is that the Democratic senatorial campaign had announced that they weren't going to pay for any more ads for Alice in Wonderland Grimes. Then they changed their mind and came up with $1.5 million to spend here. You know, well, Mitch McConnell, when he became the Senate Minority Leader, he promised that he would not take any money from the National Republican Senatorial Committee to help his campaigns. He promised that. And you know what? He's not. The National Republican Senatorial Committee is not spending any money on Mitch McConnell. So in order to offset the $1.5 million that Grimes is getting from the Democratic Senatorial Campaign, he went ahead and gave his own money to the campaign to honor that commitment. And by the way, no offense, but he also took out money and put money in his campaign in the 2008 campaign that he ran against Bruce Lunsford. So McConnell, we've lost Ed, folks. So McConnell, you know, he won the election against Lunsford by almost 6 points. You know, but he also gave his money, his campaign money then. This isn't an unusual event for Mitch McConnell. You know, and they're trying to act like this is a big deal. Oh, my God, he's broke. This is too close a race. You know, he's got to give himself money because he just can't get any more money, and he's trying to buy the election. What a joke. What a joke. That's all that can be said about that. I tell you, it's amazing to me. So we look at all of these things, folks. Ed's gone, so we're going to be stuck with me for a few more minutes. But we look at all of these things, and we have to ask ourselves, what gives? What gives? How can the people continue listening and following for this agenda stuff? I mean, really, truthfully, it's beyond disturbing. It should be downright criminal the way that both of these campaigns are being run. It should be downright criminal the way that David Patterson is being ignored. You know, Michael McFarlane is not getting equal attention. It, you know, even every mainstream media pundit, including MSNBC, has called out and said that Grimes was running, you know, the most pathetic, she's so desperate, the most pathetic, untrue, false ads that she should be ashamed of herself. The liberal media, MSNBC, is saying that kind of stuff. You know, so the fact that McConnell is giving himself, you know, $1.8 million to offset the money from the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee because he's honoring a promise that he made to the Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee is absurd to think that that's an act of desperation. He's putting his money where his mouth is, right, Ed?
Yeah. And also, you know, and the truth of the matter is the Democrat Senatorial Campaign Committee, when they withdrew from Grimes, they were basically responsible for one ad. And, you know, in fairness to Grimes, one of the reasons they pulled that ad is because after it came out, it was like, oh, my God, that's offensive.
Right.
It was the one immigration. It's like
right. They
basically, it was a very foolish ad that they attacked McConnell for things that were tenets of the liberal base. So it wasn't that they were giving up on Grimes. It's just that they had an epically stupid ad that they were running. So they had to pull it, let it cool off, and take some new ads because they, well, like I say, not that they were giving up. They were just being really, really stupid.
Oh, I agree. And they were. They got caught, you know, and it's just the way it is. I don't even know where to begin anymore. It is just beyond ridiculous. We expect Mitch McConnell to go negative. He did. He went early. He went dirty. I get that. I'm not letting Mitch McConnell off the hook of anything. But I find it very disturbing that we've got a person who has been elected to one office, spent a year there, and was already spending the majority of her time on our taxpayer money out campaigning for her next office because she wants to be a senator. And her connections are to crooked Democrats, her dad being one of them. You know, and everybody thinks that this is someone we should take serious and be a credible candidate. And the only thing that she's done is she's made Mitch McConnell look like he's telling the truth because her lies are so blatantly obvious, you know, and she doesn't care one bit about women. She doesn't care one bit about coal. It's all a bunch of lies, and we have too many things to prove that. It's just disturbing. And we can thank James O'Keefe for a lot of that. And the reason I bring him up again is Friday, for those of you who don't know, James O'Keefe's personal Facebook account was shut down on Friday. As soon as his daggone Project Veritas video started going crazy on Facebook, that was the one that was talking about the Colorado officials, you know, talking about ghetto neighborhoods in Aurora where ballots could be found and filled out and sent in for, you know, illegally, right, voter fraud. You know, as soon as that thing started going viral, Facebook shut him off. His account was deactivated, and it was only down for about an hour, but the account was deactivated. It was down for at least an hour that he knows of. They contacted Facebook, and Facebook wouldn't answer them or anything, or wouldn't talk to him about deactivation or anything else. But ironically, about an hour later, he was on the phone with a national reporter talking about his account being shut down. And within 90 seconds of that conversation with the reporter, the account was mysteriously reactivated. Facebook was scared it was going to get out there that they did that, so they reactivated his account because this reporter called him and wanted to know why they had deactivated it. That's exactly what happened. So, you know, this is what I'm saying. I mean, it's all craziness. It really is. But I tell you something else is crazy, Ed. It's the end of another hour. Final thoughts, my friend.
Yep, one item at a time, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Guys, I tell you, I don't know where to begin on this anymore. It's, like I say, even as a Republican, and to the credit of a lot of my liberal friends, I wish Patterson were getting more attention. He's been frozen out. He's been banned. They've rewritten the rules to keep him out because the two leading candidates are a little scared of him. They're scared of what might show up as a constitution, a moderate. And he doesn't fit their script, which is, to me, is somewhat terrifying that people who want to be amongst the 100 most powerful people in the country are scared of a retired police officer who just believes in the Constitution. But beyond that, we'll have one more show before Election Day. I would encourage people, like I say, be cynical. Please be cynical. You have good reason to be cynical. If you go into the voting booth, in a week or so, and you're enthusiastic, there's something wrong with you because most of your choices are substandard. So be cynical. And I'm actually having a little fun. You've probably seen it on social media. I'm saying I'm just going to put it out there right now. If you don't like the choices you have, feel free to write Ed Martin in for any and all offices where you might be a little put off on anybody else, because I just really want to mess with the people who have to count the ballots.
There you go, man. There you go. I tell you, it's just disturbing to me that we continue getting these choices. We talk about David Patterson. We talk about other independent candidates, libertarians. I don't care if you're Green Party, libertarian, or other, because in Kentucky, you're either Republican, Democrat, or other. And if you're other, you're not allowed to be involved in the process. They've done everything they can to thwart that. And that's the thing. We continue wondering why we get these lies from people like Grimes and even McConnell. We continue wondering why we have to put up with this crap. We're screaming and fighting over voter ID in a country that's less than 30% vote anyway. We're having all these arguments and all these fights over the silly stuff, and we're not addressing anything. We're going to get into some of the voter ID situation on Wednesday night and talk about voter fraud and election fraud and why voter ID is important. But when we look at all the elections we've got, we're getting the people that we have allowed. We're getting the people that we gave power to, and we're not exercising our power to take it back. We're not. When we continue to allow ourselves to go down the road with these false prophets and these false hopes and these lies, it's very disturbing what's going on in America today in the voting process and the electoral process. We need to find a way to open it up and get better candidates. And the only way we can get better candidates is we, the people, demand it. You don't have to like everybody that comes down the pike. God knows there's been plenty of candidates who were outside candidates that were nut jobs. Nobody's disputing that. But in the middle of all these nut jobs, we do have quality candidates that are outside the two-party system that really do have a lot to bring to the table. If nothing else, give them the opportunity to discuss the issues. Let's have an open conversation and an open dialogue. Even if you feel like they can't win the election because the two-party system is so broken and hijacked everything in the world, even if you don't feel like they can get elected, none of us have all the answers. None of us have all the answers. And we never will. Some people think I'm smart. Some people think I'm dumb as rocks. And I'm inclined to agree with the latter, not the former. But that's just the way it is. Sometimes I feel dumb as rocks. But I tell you, I can research. I can learn. And trust me, folks, if I can do that, just about anybody can. That's it for tonight. Wednesday night, I'll be back at 7 on Wednesday and Thursday, of course, with the Ed Springsteen Show. But don't forget to tune in tomorrow night at 7 o'clock for our good friend Dale the Truth Gillespie and his TNT Thursday Night Truth Show. He's always got something interesting to say. I believe he's going to get into some, I'm sure he will. He'll get into some judges' races and some other races this week because next Tuesday is the election. So you'll actually have him on air next week for live results. And I'll be back Wednesday and Thursday, as I said, at 7 o'clock. Our good friend Ken Mulman will be here Sunday night at 7 o'clock with Liberty Unbridled right here on the MVM Radio Network. And don't forget to check out LouisvillePolitics.com and help us out if you can. But more importantly, get involved. Get educated. Know what you're doing. Go to the polls. Make a difference in this election. It's time to bring it all back to where it needs to be. And that's power to the people. Have a great night, folks. Thanks for listening.